This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
News Talk 850 WFTL presents Joyce Kaufman, No Restraint. Here's Joyce Kaufman.
Well, now on this week's No Restraint podcast by me, Joyce Kaufman, I've got so many subjects I want to talk about. I don't know if I can fit them all in, but I'm going to do my best. First and foremost, the idea that the mainstream media continues to misrepresent everything that Donald Trump says and every rally or statement he makes is completely misrepresented is really growing old. I think for a lot of Americans, we just stop believing anything that the mainstream media has to say. Maybe you don't even believe what conservative media has to say anymore. It's bizarre. There was an instance last week in Michigan where Donald Trump was talking about rescuing the auto industry. Now, it's not the first time he's talked about that. As a matter of fact, his Agenda 47 clearly outlines how he plans to save America's auto industry from Joe Biden's radical Green New Deal policies. Oh, but instead, it was all about Donald Trump is threatening. He's saying there's going to be terrible things happening in America if he's not reelected. Well, let me tell you, there will be terrible things happening in America if he's not reelected. That's the truth. Joe Biden is waging war on the U.S. auto industry with a series of mandates that are crippling the industry and forcing Americans, or at least attempting to force us, into buying expensive electric cars, even as thousands of electric cars are piling up on car lots, all unsold. This ridiculous Green New Deal crusade is causing car prices to skyrocket and setting the stage for the absolute destruction of the American auto production. And if it's not stopped, Joe Biden's going to destroy the American auto production industry. Totally dead. And that's why Donald Trump says he's going to terminate these Green New Deal atrocities on day one. In his first term, I fought for auto workers like never before, he said. And in the next term, I'm going to do even better. But of course, all you heard from the mainstream media was he's threatening us. He said he's going to wage war. He's going to terminate. Words like that can be misrepresented, and obviously, in this case, they are. President Trump is going to end Biden's assault on the internal combustion engine and cancel these harmful April 2023 emission regulations for light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles that are projected to kill over 100,000 auto manufacturing jobs. On day one, he's going to roll back every Biden policy that is brutalizing American auto workers. President Trump is also going to end this insane CAFE fuel economy standards that will cost the auto industry an estimated $200 billion and raise the average cost of vehicles by more than $1,000. At a time when the average price of a new car is already close to 50 grand, President Trump's going to secure the USMCA's protections for American auto workers from globalist assault. In January of this year, international bureaucrats on the USMCA panel, at the direction of Canada and Mexico, and unopposed by Joe Biden, changed the terms to reduce the amount of regional auto parts content in North American cars by up to 33%. That directly benefits China and other foreign producers. President Trump will communicate to Canada and Mexico that full compliance with the terms of the USMCA is not optional. President Trump will work to stop the flow of American tax dollars that are subsidizing Chinese electric vehicle battery companies through the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. President Trump's going to end Joe Biden's war on American energy that's raising the price of gas. He's going to achieve American energy independence and energy dominance and rapidly reduce the price of energy through what? More domestic production. President Trump's going to end Biden's delays in federal drilling permits and leases that are needed to unleash American oil and natural gas production. Drill, baby, drill. President Trump will once again exit the horrendously unfair Paris Climate Accords and oppose all of the radical left's efforts for a Green New Deal that are designed to shut down the development of America's energy resources that exceed any countries in the world, including Russia and Saudi Arabia. President Trump's going to create a special team of warrior lawyers to identify every unnecessary federal regulation that's hampering the American auto industry and immediately eliminate them. And then he's going to restore the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve that Joe Biden wastefully drained to its lowest level in 40 years. And President Trump will enact a national tariff policy to protect American workers and stop the export of American wealth and jobs. Rather than raising taxes on American producers like Joe Biden is proposing, President Trump will impose tariffs on foreign producers through a system of universal baseline tariffs on most imported goods. Hey, I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but I got to tell you, we need some immediate relief in industries like the auto industry. President Trump's universal baseline tariffs will create millions of new jobs, increase real household income, boost the GDP, increase domestic manufacturing output, and generate hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. So as tariffs on foreign countries go up, taxes on American workers and families and businesses can finally come down. Raising tariffs on foreign producers while lowering taxes for domestic producers is going to help generate jobs and wealth right here in the United States. What a concept. Those kinds of tariffs restore a level playing field for American businesses worldwide and even slash the trade deficit. And to further defend the American auto industry from foreign onslaught, President Trump's going to pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. And under this act, if any foreign country imposes a tariff on American-made goods, like cars or car parts, that is higher than the tariff imposed by the U.S. for the same goods, President Trump will have the authority to impose a reciprocal tariff of the same amount on that foreign country's goods. This is how business is done. This is how business is fair. A national tariff policy will put America first and continue President Trump's successful first-term trade policies that actually reduced our trade deficit, actually grew wages, and created 500,000 new manufacturing jobs. Unfair and unbalanced trade policies hurt us. The result is a decrease in demand for U.S. domestic production, which leads to a loss of manufacturing jobs and lower wages. Since the moment he took office, Joe Biden's globalist trade policies have caused the annual trade deficit to skyrocket to $1 trillion, its highest point ever. Real wages have sharply declined over 28 months under the weak trade policies that flooded the American market with cheap foreign goods produced by cheap foreign labor. The $4 trillion in foreign imports in 2022 under Biden was the highest ever. And that's just the beginning of what Agenda 47 looks like. But I felt I had to defend him because immediately they were talking about, oh, he's threatening there's going to be civil unrest and there's going to be blood in the streets. Guess what? I'm of the opinion that no matter how the election goes in November, there's a very good possibility that there might be blood in the streets. Half of America is going to be ticked off and not trusting the other half of America. How we get around this? Well, your guess is as good as mine, but I'm going to keep looking for solutions. And right now, the only solution I see is we have got to reelect Donald Trump in 2024.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I was listening to some people online talking about, I guess you're not listening, you're reading, talking about the northern border crisis and how it just keeps getting worse. Now, I know nobody else is really talking about this, but I was glad that the Epoch Times was, and I decided that I was going to bring this subject out. I certainly talk about the southern border enough. So now let's look at our northern border. Well, it was dawn or maybe dusk that a woman who used to enjoy alone time walking on the woods on her 21-acre property in Highgate, Vermont, which is a small rural town near the U.S.-Canada border, now says, "I'm cautious. I'm worried about potential encounters with illegal immigrants along the remote logging trail. I don't go out by myself anymore, especially at night," said Mrs. Christy Bro, who runs a dog obedience business from her home. "It's unsettling. You can't feel relaxed anymore. You want to be safe in your own house and on your property. But it's getting bad. Sometimes you see them on the interstate looking for a ride." Mrs. Bro and her husband are both avid hunters and have deer stands set up on their property. Their game cameras often record illegal immigrants passing through. The illegal immigrants travel alone or in small groups, discarding their unwanted belongings as they trudge further south into Vermont, headed for destinations unknown. "We find clothes out here. We found shoes and a bicycle. We see Border Patrol out there on snow dogs following footprints." Once a place of peace and solitude, she said the woods behind her house are now a shortcut for illegal immigrants. "And it's only gotten worse since President Joe Biden took office," she said. In fiscal year 2023, border officials encountered 189,401 illegal and inadmissible immigrants along the U.S.-Canada border, including at the ports of entry. Of those, 10,021 were caught crossing illegally between ports of entry. In fiscal 2021, that number was only 916. Mrs. Bro's property falls within the Customs and Border Protection's CBP Swanton sector, a 295-mile stretch of largely unguarded border with Canada. Swanton Sector Chief Patrol Agent Robert Garcia wrote on social media earlier this month that border agents in his sector apprehended more illegal immigrants in fiscal year 2023 than the prior 11 fiscal years combined. The Swanton sector encompasses 24,000 square miles and includes all of Vermont and several counties in New Hampshire and New York State. Traveling on foot in the area is especially challenging during the winter months. Border officials have encountered illegal immigrants marching across miles of snow-covered wilderness, swamps and muddy fields and meadows in sub-freezing temperatures. Many of them succumb to the elements. This month, 8 illegal immigrants from Albania and India died while trying to cross the St. Lawrence River in New York State. In February, a Mexican man traveling in a group near Holland, Vermont, collapsed and died after crossing illegally into the United States. It cannot be stressed enough. Not only is it unlawful to circumvent legal means of entry into the United States, but it is extremely dangerous, particularly in adverse weather conditions, which the Swanton sector has an incredible abundance of. Border officials often use snowmobiles and tracked all-terrain vehicles to pursue illegal immigrants. Despite sub-freezing temperatures, Swanton sector continues encountering family groups with young children, including infants, illegally crossing from Canada into the United States. and that's according to the CBP website. A woman who lives in New Hampshire told the Epoch Times an illegal immigrant swam across Wallace Pond in Canaan, arriving soaking wet on her neighbor's doorstep, asking for help. In a separate incident, Mrs. Bro recalled her neighbor returning home one afternoon to find an illegal immigrant sitting on her front steps. He wanted to charge his phone at her house. While the neighbor allowed the man to charge his cell phone outside the house, she also called Border Patrol, who came and arrested him. In yet another incident, a neighbor informed Mrs. Bro that three illegal immigrants were on her property. They just walked down my driveway and turned around and came back onto my property. The way I see it, if you have nothing to hide, you do things legally. Border Patrol agents apprehended almost 7,000 illegal immigrants from 79 different countries in fiscal 2023, according to Mr. Garcia. He wrote that on X, which was an astonishing 550% increase compared to last year. And during the first 4 months of fiscal year 2024, apprehensions have already doubled the same period in fiscal 2023, he wrote. Last month, a citizen's report in Champlain, New York, led to the arrest of 10 Bangladesh citizens. Mr. Garcia highlighted the arrest of a Mexican national who had crossed illegally into the United States. The man was arrested in September 2023 in North Troy, Vermont. He was in possession of drugs, ammunition, and multiple weapons. He was sentenced to 10 months for unlawful possession of a firearm, according to Mr. Garcia. Swanton Sector Local 2266, the union that represents border agents working in the sector, didn't respond to any requests seeking comments on these stories. We're also seeing a lot of movement at the Canada-U.S. border, said Royal Canadian Mounted Police Sergeant Charles Poirier, Division C Communications Officer in Quebec. The trend of southbound crossing, that's illegal crossings from Canada to the U.S., is growing. Our patrol officers are intercepting a lot of migrants almost every day and every night along the border. Although Canadian law enforcement can only speculate at the motives of these individuals, it appears that a sizable proportion is using Canada as a stepping stone to gain entry to the United States. They land at one of Canada's international airports, maybe Montreal or Toronto, and within a few hours of their arrival, we intercept them at the border. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police recently launched a number of investigations into human smuggling operations, several of which resulted in criminal charges in Canada. In Champlain, New York, residents have observed illegal immigrants walking or waiting for taxis after crossing over near the port of entry on Roxham Road in Canada, which was closed down in March of 2023. In Rouse's Point, New York, within the Swanton sector, one restaurant owner said the northern border has reached scary proportions with illegal immigration. The illegal immigrants are coming across the border, and people have been seeing them in their windows. It's happening every day. It's not just families coming over. They're saying it's young men. That makes it even more scary. It's one thing bringing your family and your kids over. Other residents in the Swanton sector say that many illegal immigrants seek to relocate in metropolitan areas like Boston and New York City, which are top destinations. However, some have opted to settle in small rural towns in search of work and housing. In the small sanctuary city of St. Albans, Vermont, population 6,877, a downtown street banner reads, "All are welcome here." But in the border town of Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, First Lake General Store employee Stephen Tenney said illegal immigration is a big issue. Some illegal immigrants come through with cars. Most of them just walk through the woods trying to get in, he said. There's only one road in and one road out. You're looking at it. Route 3. If they come through the woods, they go up the back all the way to the border. It's horrible. I don't like it, Mr. Tenney told us, and added that people feel less safe. But everybody up here carries firearms, that is. He said he's heard most illegal immigrants traveling through Pittsburgh have been military-age men, no women, and no children. You walk 3,000 miles, and you look like you just came out of the mall with a phone, clean clothes, and you don't even have a bag. I have a real issue with this administration, Mr. Tenney said. This administration is not doing anything. This administration has been about an open border. Just come on in. And that's just wrong. On January 31st, a temporary overflow shelter for 350 illegal immigrants opened at the Melnea Acas Recreation Center and Swimming Pool in Roxbury, Massachusetts, a state-run facility. At a facility walkthrough held on the same day, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, a Democrat, said during a videotaped press conference, "We're here today because we really don't have a choice. As you know, families continue to come into this country, continue to come into Massachusetts," the governor said. "We have, over the last several months, opened locations throughout the state, including large overflow sites around the state. We're also in about 90 communities, utilizing our emergency shelter assistance program. Right now, we have about 7,500 families in Massachusetts housed through that program." She said many facilities have since reached capacity as the state manages a waiting list for new arrivals. Help to find work and shelter outside of the shelter system, meanwhile, is a, quote, work in progress, end quote. In the meantime, we're here because we need to find a place for people to go safely. She said that under the law, Massachusetts has an obligation to ensure complete use of all spaces around the state for housing illegal immigrants. Governor Healey has called on Congress and the Biden administration to provide resources to meet the influx of new arrivals. In the meantime, we cannot wait. We've worked hard to get work authorizations for nearly 3,000 individuals who've come to Massachusetts. We have a program designed to plug them in with employers who need the workforce. As we do this work, we're going to do so using local vendors and service providers, food, laundry, transportation, case management. We are going to show how this is going to be done well. Governor Healey said the site needs to be reverted back to the community, though, before June. At the press briefing, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, another Democrat, said the city is working quickly to integrate illegal immigrant children into the education system. "This is all a matter of logistics. We are eager to figure this out. I am the daughter of immigrants." Mind you, they were legal immigrants. "So many of my top leadership team are the children of immigrants," Mayor Wu said. However, several longtime Roxbury residents were much less supportive of the recreation center's transformation into a temporary shelter. Ray, a guy who didn't want his last name used, said the United States is already beset with problems taking care of its own citizens, and the recreation center is already crowded as it is. "We have a problem with trained lifeguards. It's a real problem," Ray said. "At some point, you're going to have overcrowding. People born and raised here, they don't get the help they need." Ray said the way he sees it, the United States continues to suffer with problems of homelessness, poverty, and drug abuse. "I understand you have to be diplomatic, and it's the United States," he said. "But how about taking care of your people? People in general, take care of your home first. To flee here, I understand. At the same time, take care of your own." Ronald Cribb, 68, said he welcomes the new arrivals and the job skills and work ethic that they bring. "There's a lot of jobs here. No American wants them because it's $10 an hour. Don't complain because they're here. Don't complain they took the jobs. You didn't want the jobs," Mr. Cribb said. "They want to work. There's a lot of jobs out here. Anybody can come here. It's called the United States." Somehow, I want to tell Mr. Cribb that that's a lot of BS, and he's just bought it because the mainstream media keeps shoving it down our throats. In the Swanton sector, residents consider illegal immigration to be a growing problem that begs for a solution. Mrs. Bro sighs at the lack of action or resolve that she sees at the federal level. "I'd say it, but I don't know if I'm allowed to. I think they need to be more strict with the border again. I'll put it that way. They need to do things legally. Something has to change. It's not fair to the people making lives in the area that we have now got to be so cautious. Given the uncertainties of illegal immigration so close to home," Mrs. Bro said she feels safer now carrying pepper spray and a firearm out on her own property. "You just never know," she said, "and it wasn't like this before." And I think that's really the issue for so many people living in America. With every day that passes, we understand that Western civilization is no longer civilized. And we can see it in Israel, where Israel's war of defense against a genocidal enemy is an inflection point in the seismic battle between civilization and barbarism. The West is failing that test, and when it comes to illegal immigration, it really shows how badly we're failing. And our morality? Down the tubes. If you watch the Oscars, you know that all these Hollywood stars sporting red pins supposedly backing a ceasefire in Gaza. That pin depicts the palm of an orangey-red hand on a background of red with a black heart in the middle. For some Israel supporters, this image channeled the infamous picture taken in 2000 when a Palestinian terrorist involved in the savage lynching of two Israeli soldiers in Ramallah triumphantly displayed his two bloody palms to the frenzied mob. The group that distributed the pin, Artists for Ceasefire, claims that the hand image conveys the beautiful community of people from all backgrounds that have come together in support of centering our shared humanity, and that the heart is an invitation for us to lead with our hearts. This asinine froth does not convince anyone. The palm of a hand does not denote community. Hand symbols are usually white, a heart is usually red, and a red hand signifies a bloody one. But that's the problem. We've allowed the world to change what humanity really is. And if you don't believe that we should have open borders and allow anyone, regardless of their intent, to come into our country from the north or the south, or to invade Israel from the north to the south, well, then somehow there's something wrong with you. Standing up for civilization and rejecting barbarism is never wrong, and illegal immigration is first and foremost illegal. I'm tired of having to defend my own language. But of course, if we let them change our language, then we'll be defending it forevermore. Thanks for listening to this No Restraint podcast. Share it with a friend, and of course, stay tuned for the next one. In the meantime, may God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. And may God bless Israel. See you next week.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.